Welcome to the Pretty Standard with your hosts, Caitlin Cutt, Gary Martin, and Adam Todd Brown.
Hey, everybody!
Hello.
Pretty Scary Boo.
Well, welcome to Pretty Scary. Carrie, no.
Carrie got in.
Carrie,
she got in again.
I got excited.
You won. So
Carrie beat us to the show.
Carrie is the only host on this episode now. Me and Caitlin are taking off. Thank you. Goodbye.
Bye. Yeah. Okay.
Thanks. It's been
all right. Let me go over some of these notes.
Carrie just started sweating profusely.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Pretty Scary.
Pretty Scary.
Pretty
Boo.
Scary Boo.
I'm Adam Todd Brown.
I am Caitlin Cutt.
And I am Carrie Martin.
And that makes us your hosts. The dossier was packed this morning when we picked
so
it up.
Packed.
Three names.
Yeah. It was huge.
Because we have a lot of ground to cover. We're getting historical on this episode.
We are.
People are going to learn things, and I'm sorry. I know you don't like to learn things, but it's what's going to happen.
I, for one, hate learning things.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But you knew that.
I second that.
Yeah.
Well, it's because I already know so much. Mm-hmm. And it's like now I have to carry all this extra around with me. I am but one man, you know?
I read a submission recently for my job, and it just said, here's a question, and that was the email header. And then it said, if information's real, why doesn't it weigh anything in our brains? And then this person just hit send. That was it.
Yeah, that needs that Google filter that's like, you sure? You sure you want to send this? Just pause.
What time did it come through?
Pause
like
for 1 second.
3 a.m.?
Oh, it was, I it was late. I remember it being like, yeah, this is right up the alley of, have you ever thought about how money is just paper kind of vibes? Like,
okay. I'm just saying, where's the gold?
Where's the gold?
So,
you know, the next day he woke up with a hangover and was like, did I send that? And then he checked sent and was like, oh, God
yep,
damn it.
Definitely sent that.
That's always the worst.
I wanted to follow up so bad, but like, I'm not an asshole, but I almost was like, I do want to hear where he's going with this. But then I was like, but this is also probably either stoned or just crazy. Like,
yeah,
because that Those person was like, mic drop. They'll get back to me. Oh, yeah.
Oh, so before we dive in to our episode today, which is about history's most violent breakups, can I just say how great it is that we're all recording together?
I love us.
All
love
of us.
I love us, too.
You know what? We should do this forever.
Mm-hmm.
Not like these people we're about to talk about.
No, these relationships were not forever.
Let's never end this relationship in the way these relationships end, which is violence. It's
pure violence. Pure violence.
Yeah.
Pure violence.
It's, I'm going to say not just like just in general, violence is a weird way to end things. It makes the chances of reconciling in the future just so slim.
But that's the thing. Like when people get violent, it always blows my mind. Because of what you just said, it's like, okay, so you've just decided that this is like scorched earth and you are not like gonna. I recently terminated a friendship. Carrie knows about this. And
oh, I'm listening.
I definitely made it clear. I made it very clear to this person. And then because of my years of mentorship from the Carrie Martin School of Life, I immediately, I sent this long, like incendiary text and then just blocked them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shoot some rounds into the air and hit the good old block button.
This person deserved it for sure. And I got like crazy subtweeted. But I don't care. I mean, I frankly, that just feeds me. I'm like, oh, just prove me right. Okay, fine. So I'm cool with that. But just like flat out, I'm going to kill you or I'm going to hurt you.
Yeah. Like,
I don't get it at all. Like, I don't get it. I don't understand.
Yeah.
Caitlin.
Yeah.
You might remember this. What was the story we covered for Valen Crimes where the guy blinded his wife and they're still married?
I know it's not called Love is Blind.
No.
Crazy Love.
That's right.
It's called Crazy Love.
but I thought
Love is Blind on Netflix would be better if they were all blinded by the people that they were dating.
You were actively blinding each other. Like, all right, in our finale episode, these six people all have vials. Half of them are filled with acid. Let's find out.
Instead of giving out roses, you throw sulfuric acid in somebody's eyeballs.
Comedy, here we go. But the first one on this list was shocking to me.
Yeah, it's shocking to me too, because I know absolutely nothing about Norman Mailer.
Yeah.
And it's a name I've always heard and pictured, like, well, his name's Norman. He must do like Norman Rockwell type shit. No. No, apparently not.
Oh, Carrie has a question. She's raising her hand. Yeah.
And neither of you two can answer this. Uh-huh. I thought Norman Mailer was a guy who produced Facts of Life.
That was Norman Lear, right?
Yes. Yeah, that's Norman Lear.
So this story was so confusing to me when you read it with that filter.
Especially with the dates involved. Yeah, I don't have an opinion about Norman Mailer. He's just, to me, always been a dude that thought everybody needed to hear what he thought. I mean, as a comp lit major, I read some Norman Mailer. I don't remember much of it. But by definition of being an essayist, there is a part of me that understands how he was a violent person. Essayists, to me, always seem like live wire personalities. They're a little, you know, egotistical, you know, we'll just say. Pretty simple to say that, yeah.
So, yeah, I didn't know much about Norman Mailer. I just, based on the name, I had a whole different expectation of who he was. And I looked into it, and he's just an asshole. It seems like he's one of those Hunter S. Thompson types. So I'm assuming his work is highly overrated, probably a little playfully racist, super duper misogynist. I'm sure. I'm not familiar with his work, but I guarantee I hate this guy. Like,
it's not your vibe, Adam. I'll say that much.
No.
Yeah. But now especially so.
Yeah, now this, knowing that this being the first introduction to Norman Mailer in my life, I think I'm done. I'm fine not having any more Norman Mailer knowledge. His wife, Adele. I have to specify which wife we're talking about here, because he was married.
And which Adele.
And which Adele, yes. It is, in fact, the singer, Adele.
Yeah, it is that one. Yeah. It's the one that you think.
People underestimate how old she really is. Like 19, you have to add 50 to each of those albums.
She lost that weight. And
Now she's got another 50, 60 years in her. She's a vampire. Adele's a vampire.
Death becomes her. Yeah, Adele's a vampire. Her and Timothy Chalamet.
Yep.
Timothy Chalamet is absolutely a vampire.
And Hello from the Other Side is about Norman Mailer. Am I correct?
I believe he wrote it.
Totally.
And she just sang it.
He ghost wrote it because he's dead.
And the other side means on the other side of her, like, eternal life as a vampire.
Right. Correct.
You'll never hear it the same.
Yeah, he had six wives and nine children. Nice! Six.
Why get married? More?
It's so many times.
So many times. But, like, listen, I love my husband. And if things don't work out, I'm never doing this again. Like, I'm in a good situation, and I just think getting married more than once sounds insane to me.
It seems exhausting.
It is. Well, because then you're, like, resetting the clock on in-laws, and, oh, God, I just – and also the people that have full-on weddings more than once. What's wrong with you?
And especially – I mean, not especially in with someone in Norman Mailer's situation, but kind of, like, where you've actually got enough money that every time you get divorced, someone's going to be able to say, all right, well, I need half of that. Like, that has to get so expensive. We did a podcast about a singer-songwriter named Steve Earle. He's been married, I think, seven times to six different women. And, like, he'll tell jokes from the stage about how every 5 years he'll just buy a woman a house. And what he means is he just gets divorced all the time, and he has to pay tens of thousands of dollars in alimony every month. And there are houses in his name that he's not allowed to enter anymore. And it's like, you know, you can just not get married. Like, some of these marriages last like a year, 18 months. It's like, those are dating numbers. Just date.
I don't even understand dating someone for that long if you don't want to.
Right.
I was brutal when I dated. I was like, 6 months. You can't figure it out by 6 months.
Yeah.
I always think it's interesting when you get remarried to someone you were married to before.
I think it didn't work.
when you were my fourth wife, but now that you're number seven, it's feeling luckier.
That seems in my mind to make more sense than marrying a completely new person.
Really? Going back?
Having been married now for 7 years, I'm like, I could see why there's a lot of appeal to just being like, okay, let's just try this again. I mean, if you're the type of person that wants to be married, I get how that happens, but I don't understand getting married more. Like, especially having a wedding more than once. Like, I don't understand that at all.
Yeah, you at least got to courthouse it.
Whoa.
You would think, like a wedding sprinkle.
Yeah, like wedding two through six.
A wedding sprinkle. We're just going to all meet at BJ's on Sunday.
Dude, that would be my dream.
Nothing casual. Wedding. Nothing too fancy. And here's, you can donate to the Honey Fund. And I'm getting my favorite pizza. You can get whatever you want.
Honey Fund would just be an envelope of like a bunch of different $25 gift cards to different chain restaurants. And that would be fine.
Carrie would be so excited. Anyway,
tomorrow, Red Lobster. The day after that, Cracker Barrel.
I guess we should get to the podcast episode. So let's talk about this, Adam.
So Adele Morales, she was Norman Mailer's second wife.
Sure.
They got together after his first marriage failed because he was cheating on his first wife with Adele Morales.
That makes some sense. And I can see how that.
That's always just such a sound choice, you know?
Oh, yeah. It's totally going to work with that person.
Yeah. You want to tie yourself down to a person who will break up their marriage on a whim because you met a few weeks ago. Like that, there's no way that's not going to end badly.
Hey, this is how we're doing this next round is I'm going to date somebody with no boundaries while I'm married. And then you know what? I'm going to marry that person.
Right.
It is a good idea.
It is a recipe for success. What that is. So the events that eventually lead to the demise of his marriage to Adele happened in November 1960, at a point in history when Norman Mailer was running for mayor of New York City, which he can't be that just on the grounds that we can't have a Mayor Mailer. Like, that's too...
Mayor Mailer. What a dork.
Yeah, it sounds stupid. People are going to say Mailer Mayor or Mailer Mailer. And then people are going to go, oh, you said Mailer Mayor. I was like, get this guy out of office. So on those grounds alone, he can't win. Also, he's dead now. But on the night of November 19th, he wasn't yet. Oh. And he and Adele were hosting a party meant to launch that mayoral campaign of his. So there's lots of NYC elites there. The adrenochrome is flowing like water. And awesome. Along with all the elites, a ragtag group of homeless people that Norman Mailer recruited off the street are at this party too.
This is also how you know he sucks, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah. He's one of those, I'm a man of the people. And it's like, then go be homeless. Like, get out there.
Marry a homeless person, give them a home.
Right?
Throw them a sprinkle.
Mm-hmm. And one attendee called this night the most dangerous evening I've ever spent in my life. They probably just mean there were a bunch of poor people there, but also there were fights just breaking out all night long at Norman Mailer's mayoral launch campaign party.
Yeah. This is where, like, the intellectual elite pre-internet, they just did whatever they wanted. Like,
For sure.
Being a famous person before social media was a completely different life. It's not, or even just the advent of the iPhone. We'll just start there. Once people could capture things on the devices that they carried in that weren't like giant cameras, everything changed. But I'm not surprised to hear that there were fights and shit like that. That makes total sense.
So Hugh Hefner used to have parties, and I can't remember if he called them like pony parties or something. But he'd have his friends come, and then they would bring in prostitutes off the street, and then they would all have sex together.
Cool.
And then they were surprised when they had chlamydia or AIDS.
Oh, that is surprising.
So same, right?
Yeah.
Kind of the same, like.
Yeah, that sounds very similar to this party of Norman Mailer's.
when you treat people like pinatas, you're going to get surprising results.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Sometimes bad stuff's going to fall out.
Hugh Hefner sucked.
He sure did. Mm-hmm. Fuck you, Hefner. Ugh. You know, he never met Marilyn Monroe. Never even met her, but bought the burial plot next to her. Oh, he's such a fucking creep.
Did you guys watch The Secrets of Playboy?
Not yet.
But I know that's where you got that story.
It sure is. Yes, I did. I paid the extra money to get all 12 episodes. Yep.
I was like, I saw the preview for that and I was like, oh, Carrie's going to be all over this.
And every time they showed the grotto, I was like, yep, I remember.
It was there. I was there. It happened. So fights are breaking out.
At one point, Norman Mailer divides the party into two sides, the people he has decided are for him and the people he's decided are against him. And here's the thing. No matter,
increasingly Adam's worst person.
Yeah, like no matter what side of that you end up on, how do you stay at the party after that? I would be like, get me the fuck out of here. Ugh.
The people who are for me and the people who are against me. This is like some Donald Trump shit.
Yeah, yeah. Super, super duper chill vibes.
Who's for me on the left? Who's against me?
He eventually gets bored with terrorizing the people who showed up to support his mayoral campaign and just goes out on the street to start trying to fight people. This is a quote from Adele Morales. He was down in the street punching people. He didn't know what his name was. He was so out of it, I guess. And
yeah, that's more than alcohol. That I can say for sure.
Yeah. And he finally returns to the apartment around 4:30 a.m.
But is that not the mayor you want to vote for?
In New York, maybe.
He's so messed up and so out of it that he just starts street brawls. Honestly, I think that's edgy, and that's the mayor we need.
Yeah.
That part is kind of endearing. I'm not going to lie. Everything up to this point, it's not a party I would want to attend, but it's a party I'd want to hear about, and that's
absolutely
cool. But things take a turn. He comes back to the apartment around 4:30 in the morning. There's still five or six people there. They're all in the dining room. Adele Morales is getting ready for bed, and at some point, an argument breaks out, and it is claimed that she, quote, taunted his heterosexual masculinity, to which he replied, quote, stabbed wife twice with a rusty pen knife. He stabbed her. He stabbed her twice in the back and once through the breast.
Ouch.
And that wound almost pierced her heart, just narrowly missed her heart. And because the world was already a very broken place by 1960, instead of Norman Mailer immediately going to jail, he went on the Mike Wallace show the next day and gave an interview in support of his mayoral campaign and also talked about how knives are a symbol of manhood. The reaction among his fellow writers was crazy. James Baldwin chalked it up to Mailer attempting to, quote, free himself from the spiritual prison he had created with his fantasies of becoming a politician. Because, you know, once you've dipped your toe into a profession that you might not be ready for, the only recourse to get yourself out of that situation, you gotta stab your wife.
Yeah, no, that's, I mean, there's a book.
It's poetic.
Everyone knows that, yeah.
Everyone knows that that's what you have to do is stab your wife with a pen knife.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Especially if it's rusty.
And it
I like the thrill of possibly getting tetanus at any moment.
Mm. Also, critic Lionel Trilling told his wife that Mailer was just launching a, quote, Dostoevskian ploy to test the limits of evil in himself. Oh, it's so fucking romantic. This guy's stabbing his wife because he was hammered at his mayoral launch party.
This is the kind of, like, intellectual crap that makes me a crazy person.
Yeah.
It's just, it always just comes back to misogyny also.
Pretty much.
Any kind of extreme thought or belief system just comes back to a woman or a child becoming abused. Always.
Yeah.
Or a time.
Yeah, like, this is still pretty much that time in history when you could just, like, have your wife committed for being a bitch. Like, she's nagging too much. Come get her. Take her to a mental hospital. There's an episode of The Twilight Zone where that exact thing happens. This couple is arguing and the guy like coaxes the wife out of the bathroom and is like, it's going to be okay. And just walks her to a fucking police car and they drive off with her. It's like, that is how granddad argued with grandma back in the day. And you just do not realize it.
Yep.
She got starlight toured and had to walk home from the outskirts of town.
Shit.
So
depressing.
On the bright side, this absolutely ruined Norman Mailer's career, and he never recovered. Just joking. He was fine. He actually ran for mayor again 9 years later, won 5% of the vote, His campaign was supported by prominent feminists like Bella Abzug and Gloria Steinem. Adele Morales never pressed charges, but she did eventually divorce Norman Mailer in 1962. She said she didn't want to press charges because it would impact the kids too much, which, I don't know, probably still press charges.
Yeah, and that's still their dad, which clearly sucks. So, I don't know.
He did.
That's a lame, annoying story on multiple levels.
He did finally do the right thing and admit that this was a bad thing he did about 40 years later, and like before he died. He said it was the one thing he could look back on his life and regret. It's like, I bet that's not true.
Hey, those are still better stats than my dad, so whatever.
So he regretted the party, the inviting homeless people, the random punching, dividing his crowd, the stabbing with a rusty penknife, a clean penknife.
Just the rust part.
Seems like just the rust. Could have given that old bird tetanus. That's not what I wanted.
That's it. That's
I wanted her to bleed out on the floor.
But I'm glad we went over it.
Yeah. He also, I didn't put it in the notes, but when it finally did become a legal issue for him, which it took a while, like a year or so, but eventually the law caught up to him for doing this. He was very adamant that he not be given any kind of insanity defense or serve any time in a mental institution because it would make all of his work look like the work of a crazy person. And it's like, your work already looks like the work of a crazy person because you are a crazy person. And that is why people like you. You're just too crazy to realize it.
Yeah. These, again, essayists, I think there's one that I like, and it's Chuck Klosterman, and all the other ones.
Yeah.
I just think to myself, I'm so happy I never met you. Thank you for the weird tour. I'm good.
Yeah. David Sedaris seems all right. Also.
I still don't want to know him at all.
David Sedaris?
Oh, no. Are you kidding?
Oh, I've read some of his books.
I think his stuff is awesome. I just don't like... Don't you like have famous people that you're like, you're awesome. Woo, glad I don't know you though. Not really. Oh, I think about that all the time. Like there's only a couple famous people that I'd want to know in real life. The rest of them, I'm just like, you seem awful, but you're very talented.
Yeah.
Thank you for your gifts. Please go away.
Well, that's why I would want to know. I would want my worst fears confirmed or denied about that person. And then they can fuck off forever.
Take them back down off that pedestal.
Yeah.
They're just like us.
Stars. They're just like us. Terrible.
Hey, do you want to be like me? Make podcasts that everyone loves? Yeah, you do. But chances are, you don't want to spend a bunch of money doing it. No worries. A solution exists. Spotify's got a platform that lets you make podcasts super easy, then distribute those podcasts everywhere, and you can even earn money doing it. All in one place for free. It's called Spotify for Podcasters, and here's how it works. Spotify for Podcasters lets you record and edit podcasts right from your phone or computer. So no matter what your setup is like, you can start creating today. Then you can distribute your podcast to Spotify and everywhere else podcasts are heard. Also, you can earn money in a variety of ways, including ads and podcast subscriptions. I'm speaking from experience when I say that all those additional features like video podcasts, Q&As, polls, those are things you won't find for cheap elsewhere. But with Spotify for Podcasters, it's all totally free, no catch. I highly recommend you give it a try. Download the Spotify for Podcasters app or go to www.spotify.com/podcasters to get started. Thanks. We love you.
All right. Let's talk about some historical badness. This one, this goes back a little ways. We're talking about Henry VIII, not the 7th, not the 9th, Henry VIII, okay?
I just want to say something.
This is not the place, Caitlin.
This breakup definitely affected your life if you were listening to this. This is the most important breakup in Western history, in my opinion. There is nothing more consequential than this divorce for so many reasons. It's a wild story, but...
He goes to great lengths to secure himself a wife.
It literally sent ripples through history.
Oh,
like
yeah.
there, it's a crazy, I'm annoying Carrie right now. This is a very interesting story. And I just needed to say that. Carrie's raising her hand. Carrie. Yeah.
I'm just confused. Okay. So maybe we should go through the story first, but are you talking about the method in which he divorced his wives?
Yes.
And was divorce even a thing back then?
Exactly. Let's get to it. We'll talk about it. Yeah,
that's kind of the problem. He had six wives, but only three of them counted because the church annulled three of his other marriages. That's what he would do. He would get married and then come up with a reason why that marriage didn't count so he could remarry, because then he's good in the eyes of God still. But most of those women whose marriages were annulled got off pretty easy, because approximately one third of his marriages ended in beheadings, which is extreme. That's an extreme response to an unhappy marriage.
Yeah.
Granted, it's the bedrock upon which the true crime industry is built.
Yeah.
But
not technically beheadings. Beheadings are a statement.
Yeah.
You know?
It's a personal crime.
But, you know, what we can say about Anne Boleyn is sometimes it's great to be first and sometimes it's not great to be first.
Right.
And in this situation, you don't want to be first.
No. Well, she's his second wife, but first to be beheaded.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, she set that trend for sure.
Yeah, she got that going.
She initially resisted his advances. Her sister had been one of his mistresses, and she didn't want to be a sistress.
Hey,
okay?
Good job, Adam.
Yeah,
sistress.
Thank you.
Like it. That's great.
So he becomes obsessed with her because he's that kind of guy, clearly. You tell him he can't have something and he will burn England to the ground to get it if need be. So he starts removing people in power in the Catholic Church who refuse to grant him the annulment he needs. He takes this to such a degree, he eventually gets excommunicated from the Catholic Church, and the Church of England has to break away from Rome and just be under the rule of the king. Those are some pretty big steps just because you want to marry a teen, because you're no longer happy that the teen you married before this is now like 20. And
it's not such a big deal.
It's like major.
It had such massive implications throughout history. We could do a whole, it doesn't matter. This is one of those nexus points in history that I think about all the time.
Yeah. It all seems really extreme, but it's worth it because at least he finds the love
true
of
love.
His life.
True love.
And they're happy together forever, I think.
Oh, wait. I just caught up on the notes.
Oh, shit. Yeah. I was thinking of something else.
Yeah.
Yeah, he eventually gets tired of her getting pregnant with girls and not giving him the male heir that he needs. So he concocts a story about her sleeping with her brother George and has her beheaded on charges of adultery, incest, and high treason. Which,
why didn't he just do that the first time?
Well, live and learn, you know?
Oh, good point.
And you want to be good in the eyes of God, you know? God's watching. He wants to see you follow the steps, but eventually he's going to see that you can't follow the steps anymore. And he's going to be like, what you're doing is fine because you're Henry VIII and you can do whatever you want.
Yep. Can you imagine like being like, I know, I'm just going to tell everybody that she's sleeping with her brother.
That she's the one who's crazy.
It's
when you, in fact, are the one that's crazy.
Such an unnecessary escalation. Like just kill her. Like, why do you got to smear her reputation, too? Dog agrees.
I will say the things that Caitlin thinks about all the time and the things that I think about all the time are shockingly different.
Listen, here's the other thing, though, you guys, is Anne Boleyn is the mother of Queen Elizabeth, who, like, steered the Renaissance. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Carrie, it's crazy.
So who's the current Queen Elizabeth?
That's the one.
That's
hundreds of years old. People don't realize another vampire.
Okay. Yep. And then that brings me to a name I see in the next sentence. Jane Seymour.
Also a different Jane Seymour.
Are we sure?
Yeah.
Have we ever seen them in the same room together?
I knew this was going to happen.
No, but only because there's not enough proximity. They're not in close enough proximity to... Like time-wise in close time proximity. I'm trying to figure out the title of that episode we did. Celebrity familial deaths in close proximity.
Celebrity deaths in close time proximity. Mm,
brought to you by the Rand Corporation. That was quite an essay we did. Yeah.
That was my favorite title of all time.
My finest work today. I was so proud of it. When you started laughing, I still want to think that it was with me.
Absolutely.
Not at me.
Yeah. I am flabbergasted that that is your reaction, considering how many notes throughout our relationship I have put together that you laughed about.
It's always funny when it's directed at somebody else, just not at me, you know?
Just Carrie, just all shields up. Zero to 60. Micro rage. I have been the victim of it many times.
Micro rage where my eyes turn black.
You know, like solar flares, Carrie can do that, but with emotions. You'll just be sitting there and all of a sudden she's like, ah!
And then I come right back down.
Looking at you from across the bar at Chili's. But then she buys you queso dip. It's very confusing.
They have a good queso dip. Not
they have
lie.
The best queso dip, hands down. Fuck, I want to eat Chili's right now. Okay, this next one is awful.
Yeah, well, I mean, Henry VIII isn't done. He's a few wives later.
That's right, I'm sorry, I forgot.
He finds himself, well, this is awful too, hitched to Catherine Howard, who is cousin to Anne Boleyn, second cousin to Jane Seymour, not that one, but
Carrie,
another of his wives.
Not that one, Carrie. It's still not that one.
Well, we'll see.
And a year or so into their marriage, he finds out that she maybe slept with another man or three while they were married. And I'm sure those accusations are completely true. And this wasn't just another ploy to find himself not married anymore. But either way, she was beheaded in February 1542 on the grounds of treason and for committing adultery.
Mm.
Wah, wah.
Yeah, that's going to happen.
But hey, the other four wives didn't get beheaded.
So then after that, was that like a thing that people just started like divorcing their wives and having them beheaded? Or was he kind of like a...
Well, so this guy just kept having daughters. So when he died, his daughter, Mary Queen of Scots, I think, became the queen. But then she thought she was pregnant, but really she had like a crazy tumor in her body. And she had to make Elizabeth the queen. So no. It basically, they had two queens that came after Henry. And Elizabeth was, she lived till she was like 80, which back then was, that's Methuselah. I mean, that's like impossible.
That's too long back then, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
It's very long. Considering she also, I think, became queen at the tail end of the Black Plague.
Mm.
She fought a lot. She beat the odds. Let me tell you what. I know you wanted to hear all of this, Carrie.
No, I did. This is good for me because it's almost like while I'm one of the hosts of the podcast, I also feel like I'm one of the listeners and I learn a lot from you guys.
It's kind of cool. It's like,
so thank you.
Yeah, no, we love you.
I think that's how we all feel about each other.
It's true. We all learn from each other.
We're all just
it's
here
really
learn.
Beautiful.
I haven't watched the Playboy documentary, so I wouldn't have known that story Carrie told about Hugh Hefner.
Yeah, exactly.
And I could have had 90% of the facts in that story wrong, but
who so cares? The way you told it.
I'm not really in the on the train of keeping Hugh Hefner's image pristine posthumously, so that's fine. I don't really care.
It's not super important. All right.
Although I think I did just offend a history major out there. I may have gotten that lineage a little. I hope I got that right.
Yeah, they'll be fine.
If I know my movies, I got that right.
If I know anything about history majors, they're not going to complain if you get a fact or date or something
wrong. No, they're happy that you even care.
There's not going to be a 2,500 word comment on Patreon.
Nope, never.
Hey, let's talk about Natalie Wood and Robert Wagner. Why is this on the list? She just fell off a boat.
Ooh.
Aww, I don't get it. She fell off a boat and drowned in 1981. Pretty straightforward, if I recall, except not straightforward at all. There were rumblings for years and years and years that her actor husband, Robert Wagner, and maybe actor friend Christopher Walken had some involvement in her death. This has always been such a weird story to me, because if she was murdered, it's almost the perfect crime the way it happened, because she couldn't swim. So you just get her a little drunk and throw her in the water and she's fucked.
Right.
And they did like to drink, all of them.
They sure did.
And this was at the time when she had gotten back together with him, right? Were they married before, divorced, or were they just dating, broke up? And this was the second time around.
I don't think they got, I don't know this story as well. Carrie, I know you love this story. I
do love it. I feel like they were married.
Yeah, I thought
divorced.
They were married again by this point.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I don't know.
And I know there was some jealousy because she was friends with Christopher Walken. And I think she invited him because they were in the middle of shooting a movie or they had just shot a movie. Also, she dated a lot of other really famous people like Warren Beatty, who... I remember seeing him in
to shine.
Oh my God, the pressure. when he was in that critically acclaimed movie Who Framed Roger Rabbit, I did not think he was attractive, but when you look at him when he was younger, he was. That's my contribution.
Warren Beatty
was in Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
No.
Yeah, he was the detective.
I think you're thinking of Dick Tracy.
Yeah, you're thinking of Dick Tracy.
There was just too much pressure.
Carrie, you did great. We figured it out.
And you didn't. You can't ever shine the light that brightly on me, Caitlin. I will drown. That's like Natalie Wood in the story.
A third of the show. How was that my fault?
I feel like it's just better when I'm quiet, which everyone was out of a host.
Oh, I'm sorry, but that was the best part of the show. So what are you talking about?
Quite fun. I agree.
I was so confused. I was like, is she confusing Warren Beatty with Bob Hoskins? Like,
I did.
Simple mistake.
Thank God Adam brought up Dick Tracy because I was going a completely different direction. I was like, maybe, is she confusing Christopher Lloyd and Christopher Walken? Is that what's happening? I was so...
When Warren Beatty was in Back to the Future. Oh, God. His hair. He needed a comb.
Oh, man.
Oh, God. Anyway.
So Warren Beatty, Christopher Walken, Robert Wagner, Natalie Wood are on this boat. Bob Hoskins is driving.
I don't know if they were married. Let's just come back to that. I genuinely don't know, but I know that they were together again, maybe in a process of reconciling.
They were on the boat together. That's for damn sure. We know that much.
Figured it out. Mystery solved.
And Christopher Walken was with them. And yeah, there's always been speculation that maybe Robert Wagner was involved. And then in 2011, 30 years after her death, the LA County coroner reopened the investigation.
I remember.
And in 2013, the coroner's office changed her cause of death from accidental drowning to accidental drowning and other undetermined factors. The report cited fresh bruises on the actress' arms and knee, along with a scratch on her neck and a scrape on her forehead, as evidence that she might have been assaulted before she drowned. Also cited conflicting statements about when she disappeared and whether she argued with Wagner that night. I feel like he did it. And there's just no way to prove it. There's never going to be any way to prove it.
I guess, I don't know. This is one of those weird stories that I actually don't have an opinion on. I know that sounds strange, but it's interesting because Carrie and I know somebody who basically fell off a boat and was drinking too much and died. We're talking about George.
Oh, yeah.
So I know it happens. Like, I know this is something that happens to people. But I don't know. I think the fact that they had a fight the night that she died doesn't necessarily make somebody culpable in her murder. But I don't know. I don't know if there was a history of abuse before in the relationship. I know nothing about that part. So, Carrie?
Yeah, I don't know about that. I think, wasn't she found in her, like, nightgown?
Yeah.
So that's the only reason for me, I think, that it seems weird. Like, if you're already in bed, why would you get up,
right,
and check on a boat or something by yourself when it's late at night, you've been drinking, and you're deathly afraid of water?
Yeah, that's a good point.
Why be on a boat at all, though? That's the other part I don't understand.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, it's a weird story. And nothing ever came of them reopening the investigation. It seems like probably nothing ever will. I can't imagine they're going to find anything. You could always go to Zach Bagans' haunted mansion and poke around the cabin of this yacht sometime
that is
if you want.
That's the weirdest part of this whole story, in my opinion, because all I can think of is that section of the Haunted Museum that we watched on Ghost Adventures, where it's just a reconstruction, kind of.
Kind of.
Of the cabin. Yeah. Like, if you go to Disneyland, it's like a reconstruction of Walt Disney's office. And you're like, oh, cool, an office. There, it's like, here's pieces of the boat. And we have a steering wheel. And this is definitely the cocktail cabinet, though. Like, it's really weird.
Yeah, there's like a wine bottle. And they're like, did he hit her with this wine bottle? It's like, probably not, or else the police wouldn't have sold it to you.
Asking the kinds of questions only Zach can ask.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, who knows? Justice for Natalie Wood. Let's get that movement started.
Oh, God. It's a good way to spend our time. I don't want to be part of a, please, no movements. I'm too tired to be in a movement.
Let's go back in history again for another.
We're going back in time.
Vintage story. Nero and Poppaea.
Whoa.
This one comes from, among other places, a book called It Ended Badly, History's 13 Worst Breakups by Jennifer Wright. Mm. She describes Poppaea as looking like Christina Hendricks, in addition to being very wealthy and clever. So,
what a babe.
She's a keeper. Roman Emperor Nero decided that she was his soulmate. And problem, he was married to someone else.
Oops.
So what do you do in that situation?
Carrie.
You are going to marry them off to your friend.
Correct. Correct.
Good job, Carrie. Good job.
He married her off to his friend Otto. Otho. O-T-H-O. Who cares? What's he going to do? Write us a letter and complain? Hoping he would be too busy with other women to pay much attention to her. You know, keep your friends close and their wives that you want to bone closer. It's classic wisdom. I don't know how he thought this was going to go any differently, but instead of Otho being too busy with other women to pay attention to Poppaea, he just falls in love with her and then bans Nero from the house. So Nero can't come in and hang out. So Nero has him banished to Lusitania in 58 CE, which that's probably what I would have done. I mean,
instead
of, like, you can't beg outside the house forever. Eventually you have to banish her husband to another land that probably doesn't even exist anymore. Lusitania? Who knows?
That's a real dictator shit.
Right? And ain't that always the way, you know?
Always. Mm-hmm.
And so, problem, Poppaea is now available to marry again, but Nero still has that wife hanging over his head. So he eventually divorces her. But this is a point in history when divorce is very much frowned upon, to the point that I wonder why it even existed. But he divorces her, and the public gets very mad. So to appease public sentiment, he murders her. He just has her killed because it's, you know, then are you happy? We're not divorced anymore. She's dead.
And why didn't he do that from the beginning?
That was my question with Henry VIII.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to keep up public appearances for as long as you can. But then eventually you just go back to God and get the permission to have someone murdered, and he signs off. And then
it's that easy.
Yeah, it's that simple. So he was finally able to marry Poppaea, and things were fine from that point on, which is great. Or no, actually, they end up getting in an argument on account of how Nero likes to gamble and cheat. And he responds by jumping up and down on her pregnant belly until she died. Either that or he just kicked her in the stomach. History might have kind of talked up the actual events of this incident.
Sure.
But he kills her and presumably kills the baby also.
Uh-huh.
He falls into a bout of depression and grief over what he's done. Obviously.
Right.
Any real man is going to have a heavy heart.
Poor guy.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you're forced into this. You have no choice but to, I mean, she was questioning his gambling and his cheating with other women.
That's on her.
What are you going to do? And so he decides to recover from his grief by taking a slave boy named Sporus and castrating him, because Sporus kind of looked like Poppaea. And so he used him as a stand-in for her until, full circle moment, he eventually marries Sporus off to Otho. And then Sporus kills himself.
That was big, like, during a time when butt stuff was big, right?
It sure was. It sure was.
Was that the butt stuff era?
Oh, yeah, a lot of butt stuff.
Yeah, I think that's what 58 CE translates to. The CE is like Latin for butt stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
The age of butt stuff. It's right in between the age of, like, enlightenment, things like that. Modern age. I don't know anything about ages.
They also called the Gilded Age the age of butt stuff, too, but they realized that had been taken.
And what was the Oregon Trail era?
Also butt stuff.
Oh, there's a lot of butt stuff.
It's all butt stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think butt stuff has ever not been part. I mean, there's like butt stuff in the Bible. So I don't know. I don't know what to tell people.
Yeah. All right. Let's go over one last weird one.
Sid this is weird.
Vicious and Nancy Spungen. This one is very strange. Nancy Spungen was the girlfriend of Sex Pistols bass player Sid Vicious. And this being 2022, I know I don't have to explain who Sid Vicious is to anyone or the Sex Pistols. Fucking Google it. They were an overrated
also,
punk band.
Sid and Nancy, great movie.
Sid and Nancy is a very good movie. Gary Oldman is fantastic.
Warren Beatty
in it. Warren Beatty plays Nancy Spungen. Very strange.
Bob Hoskins plays their manager.
Bob Hoskins might be in that.
There's a 90% chance that Bob Hoskins is in it because it is a British film.
Yeah,
so
sure is.
They only have
like
5 actors.
Sounds right to me.
They only have 5 actors at a time ever.
Yeah, well, that's all we allow. Yeah.
So, and then, well, really 4, because it's been Gary Oldman for the last 60 years. Yeah, so there's only, it's Gary Oldman and then 4 other people that get to be in things.
Michael Caine, stuff like that.
Yeah. Michael
British Caine. Renee Zellweger.
Mm-hmm.
What a mind fuck. British Gwyneth Paltrow.
So on October 12th, 1978, Nancy Spungen is found dead in the bathroom of the hotel room she and Sid were sharing. Single stab wound to the abdomen. She apparently lived for about 3 hours before she eventually died. There was a murder weapon. The knife was left by the door completely wiped clean. Sid Vicious is the one who finds her, tries to clean her up, then goes to the methadone clinic because he was addicted to heroin, then comes back, calls the police. When he returns, he confesses to the murder, but says he has no memory of it happening, which... This one is another one that will never, ever, ever, ever be solved.
Ever.
Because, I mean, I have no doubt he probably would have gotten convicted. I don't know if he still had rock star money necessary to fight a case like this successfully. But yeah, the part where the knife is wiped clean is very weird. That obviously speaks to murder, but also the fact that the knife was left there is weird. Why would you... Especially if you're Sid Vicious, why would you wipe the knife and then leave it there and then leave? You could have just taken it with you.
But it also just sounds like someone's on drugs doing something.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
This is like the working of a person on heroin for sure. You know, that doesn't really surprise me.
That's the thing.
And there's nobody else had a motive to kill her, really. And their relationship, this one I do know about, was violent and intense and like, you know, kind of like that your prototypical toxic relationship in every way. So I think he did it. Like, I think it's pretty.
Yeah. I can imagine if you were in his position and you woke up and saw her stabbed to death on the floor, you'd be like, yep, I probably blacked out and did that. That's not good.
Or is he saying he blacked out, but like, that's just an excuse.
Well, there are some theories. There were other people in the room. At one point, she makes a call to a friend trying to get drugs, and this friend swears he heard a friend or a male voice in the background that was not Sid Vicious. She had a ton of money that she was flashing around, like thousands of dollars. By all accounts, Sid Vicious had taken 30 Tylenols, so the chances of him like being able to get up and do this are slim, but also you build a tolerance to drugs, and taking that many drugs, that's the perfect situation to black out and do something crazy. Like that's Ambien levels high.
Yep.
There were 6 sets of fingerprints in the room. Nancy was showing all this cash, but they didn't find the cash in the room. And that leads people to suspect that this might have been a robbery. I personally think, in all seriousness, the NYPD probably took that money. Like, we're talking about 1970s fucking dog day afternoon NYPD walking into a hotel room with thousands of dollars just sitting open in a drawer. Yeah, they're definitely going to put that in evidence.
Or that other person that the phone call lady, they stole it. I'm sorry, but like, I hear you, but when you're getting into like hard drug use and people coming in and out of hotel rooms, there's a lot of people that could have taken that money, including,
I'm just saying the NYPD is one of them. Like that's the kind of thing the NYPD engaged in the 70s. I mean, still, but like especially then.
Maybe they all split it evenly.
Oh, could that's be. Nice.
Oh, that yeah, that would be nice.
Sharesies.
Yeah. I feel like whoever just would have seen the money first probably took
it. That's my point. It's like it wasn't Sid Vicious, but it was, yeah.
Yeah.
This is such a sad, sad, horrible, this is a bad one in every way.
Like, yeah. He ends up getting arrested, but then is bailed out a few weeks later. And then shortly after he gets bailed out, he bashes a dude in the face with a glass and goes back to jail, gets bailed out again, and is released into the custody of his very responsible mother and his new girlfriend. And his mom buys him heroin, like a good mom.
Totally.
And he dies of an overdose that night. So that's kind of where the Sid and Nancy story ended. So no one really knows.
Great tragedy, for sure. I think it would be interesting, like, I hope this happens, but when you die... Uh-huh. Like all these kind of mysteries, like you get the answers to.
Oh, I would hope. Yeah.
Right? And then you can continue on to whatever, wherever you were going. But I would like to know.
Yeah. Like how when you become president, they put that book down in front of you and they're like, read this. You're going to be pretty surprised.
I do not think they did that with Donald Trump. I'll say that.
Yeah.
I don't think that guy was skim through
it. I think they did it and he didn't care. I could see that. There is a very famous story about them showing him there's a video they show every incoming president that basically shows what the effects of a nuclear war would be. And it usually like reduces them to tears. Trump was on his phone the whole time during that video.
I think that's interesting that like when you get hired at a new job and they make you.
Yeah. Like what are the training videos for becoming president? Yeah.
One of them is nuclear war. That's so interesting. Like, don't worry, for the first 90 days, you're just filling out new hire paperwork and getting acclimated. Your benefits kick in after 90 days.
People are dropping off like desk plants for you.
Yeah. Here, just watch this. This one's good. Just watch this training video and they turn it on and it's like footage of a secret underground lab that's holding aliens and alien technology.
But it's all really bad acting.
Yeah.
Hey, Brad, what are you doing next to the World War III button? Oh, I'm just drinking my cup of coffee. Well, according to our training manual, you are not supposed to be consuming any food or beverages next to the World War III button.
Is that true? Yeah, I wrote a rap about it.
Did I ever tell you the story about I got onboarded at this company and one of the training videos, it was a sexual harassment video and it was just called, "Hey, you're a girl."
I worked at a company once that was 95% women. It was a health insurance company. And at one point they had a seminar. It was a 2-day thing and it was called Women Working with Women. And it was just all about teaching women how to get along in the workplace.
Did it involve de-escalating hand-to-hand combat? Because sometimes that comes up.
It felt like secret knowledge I should not have had access to. Like, I should have just been given the day off. Like, I knew too much about my colleagues after that.
I probably need to watch that video.
Need to go to the bathroom together. You can go alone.
The only person who stormed out in disgust was a fellow male who had to watch it. And he stormed out because at one point someone suggested that camera technology had not been invented by the 1950s. And his line here is a quote, "They had photography in the Civil War." And then he just got up and walked out. And I never saw him in that meeting again. And I was so happy for him.
Too much information about the opposite sex for him to metabolize.
And that coworker's name was Donald Trump.
Yep.
Oh man.
Yeah, I got to find that course. We'll take it. We'll take it for an episode.
Can we? And we'll do we'll do an audio, whatever it's called. Yeah, I want to do that. An audio, whatever it's called. I need more coffee, I guess. Man, I'm tired.
So I think that's the last breakup we have to talk about. Is there anything else?
There's one more breakup.
Is there?
Mm-hmm. It's a little closer to home.
Yeah, there is.
Still violent, I hope.
It can be after.
Okay.
I wanted to tell all of pretty scary listeners and my two co-hosts who were definitely not pre-informed about this.
Yeah, what's going on, champ?
I am going to have to stop being a co-host permanently here on Pretty Scary. I will come back for a couple episodes here and there for sure. But the good news is I've had some really great career stuff happen for me here in the last few months. I was excited about doing, you know, the Pretty Scary Book Club and all these other things. But fate had other plans for me. So I'm moving forward with some really exciting projects, but unfortunately that means I cannot be relied on consistently to record for this amazing show. So that is the announcement I have to make today.
We're obviously happy for you and your career stuff. I mean, we've already had this talk. Now we're just having it for the people. I think what's important is we should hash out how me and Carrie are going to murder you.
Yeah, I mean, should I be here for that, though? I feel like the surprise is kind of the fun part.
But it's going to make it more of a challenge for us if you know our plan and you're able to, like, counteract it a little bit. And then Carrie and I have to think on our toes. Let's be honest, I have to think on our toes.
Yeah. And Carrie's not going to read the notes for my murder. It's not going to happen. Just, you cannot depend on her for that.
But we'll get it done. We'll get it done.
But she will show up in California after having six Chardonnays in the airport from where she's from. And it will be, you know, it'll be a lot like Sid Vicious. She will not remember anything.
Facts.
Let me tell you, flying on an airplane with Carrie Martin is worth the price of the plane ticket, especially when she starts looking around and not really whispering, but whispering, we're all going to die.
It's always nice to hear that on a plane. You're like, am I going to be the person? And then someone else says it and you're like, oh.
If you are lucky enough to be sitting directly behind her, she will pass you snacks that you bought yourself. And then also one of my favorite things was when I was landing the plane and all of the interpersonal devices turned back on.
Landing.
Wait, what?
The plane was landing.
Oh, okay.
The plane was like, I need to turn your phone back on. And Carrie had just sent me like 40 middle finger emojis throughout the flight at different times. She thought I was getting them.
And instead, they just like, did you have that like,
phone on for the entire flight, which you're not supposed to do. And apparently throughout this 4-hour trip, more than once, more than five times, she decided to text me a series of middle fingers.
Why isn't she taking my snack?
When my phone turned on, it was just like bing, 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 bing. And the woman next to me could see that I was just getting middle fingers.
She was probably like, is 9/11 happening again? What is this?
I think one time you told me that you were listening to the audio what was it? Who Framed Virginia Woolf by Warren Beatty. And I got so angry.
She turns around. She's like, I'm just trying to like not talk to Carrie because she's just having a moment. She doesn't fly well. And Carrie turns around. She's like, what are you listening to? Like really loud. And I was like, oh, I'm listening to this Virginia Woolf book. And Carrie looked at me like I said I was looking at black market pornography or something. Like how dare you? And then she made fun of me for the rest of the trip. I also showed up with a backpack and Carrie hated that too.
Was it a rolling backpack?
No. It was just a normal backpack. And Carrie was like, literally it's the first thing she said to me at the airport. She's like, what is that? I said, it's a backpack. And she said, God damn it, Caitlin. And walked away towards Chili's where I followed her.
Oh, of course. Someone goes to Chili's, you
Bubba
follow.
Bubba Gump Shrimp Company. That's where we went first. Anyway, I don't know how we
less
got
enthusiastic
here,
about that choice.
Yeah. I know. Yeah. So if Carrie's going to fly out here to murder me, she's not going to remember anything because she'll get lit on the plane as says the prophecies.
And then we'll recap it on my podcast, What's the Queso, that we record in a Chili's, me, Warren Beatty, and Bob Hoskins.
Amazing. Bob Hoskins is dead, but it's fine.
Who killed him?
The queso. He was trying to solve. I don't know. He's just not showing up for recording. It's really weird.
But I never take his name off the credits.
You tell everybody at the bar at Chili's that you're waiting for Bob Hoskins. Anyway, okay. This is getting insane. Yeah, I'm sorry that I can't be more, be here as much as I want to be, but I've really enjoyed this and I will continue to come back occasionally. So, and you know how to find me. So come find me. I'll be there.
And Carrie will still be co-hosting episodes with me. I won't be doing this alone. That'd be weird. And, you know, we'll probably have some guests on from time to time, some guest co-hosts, things like that, which is a thing we don't do that often. So, yeah, it'll be good. and Caitlin is going off to do fun things. So yeah. Everyone should be happy for her. I mean, send lots of hate mail, obviously.
Oh, totally. Yeah. I'm expecting it. It's fine.
You know, yeah, like a couple of days of radio silence at least while you work through your grief. But then reach out to Caitlin and wish her the best. You jerks.
And if you can ever come back, Caitlin, I would appreciate it. I'll step down again.
Gary's just gonna like.
I'm already waving a white flag.
Just Gary's stressing, you guys. She's like, how is Caitlin gonna go? What the fuck are we gonna do? You've been fine, Gary. You've done it without me before many times.
But it's more, I know. The dynamic of the three of us is a lot of fun.
And I will be back. We'll plan episodes for me to come back for sure. I can't completely step away, but I can't be relied on to record consistently here. So that's the facts.
We'll do some stuff. Don't worry about it.
And congratulations, Caitlin. That's awesome news.
Thank you. I'm excited. Well, and you'll see what those announcements are here very shortly if you follow me on Instagram or Twitter.
Which you absolutely better not, or else me and Carrie will see it as a huge betrayal
I believe
of our
is
trust.
Caitlin Cutt 722 on Instagram.
Yep, that's me.
And Caitlin Cutt 722-76 on Twitter.
Yeah. And then you can follow Carrie. Just look up Carrie Martin, but her handle is her social security number.
Which also doubles as my bank password.
Right.
Everything else.
And her mother's maiden name. Very weird.
It's weird. It's really
nine
weird.
Digits in her mom's maiden name. So strange.
All right,
my next podcast will be the name of the first street I lived on.
And the whole podcast is this whole mystery about Carrie trying to figure out how the hell her identity got stolen. She just can't figure it out.
That sounds like fun. I want to produce that. So shut this podcast down and move on to that.
Carrie's like, I don't know. I just, it's crazy. Just giant chunks of money started to disappear from my account. I don't know.
The whole logo is just a picture of my driver's license.
Your real ID.
Debit card.
A passport. So you holding all of them up.
With a thumbs up.
No, middle finger. What?
On the queso.
On the queso. Gary Martin. Oh no, you have to do that. That's so funny. On the queso. God damn it.
Just a review of the queso at various chilies throughout the nation. Nope, good here too. It's like California weather. Always good. This has been On the Queso with Carrie Martin. We're in Flagstaff, Arizona.
Shortest podcast in the history of the world. You know what would be good, though, is Carrie attracts the weirdest people possible. So I promise you that if we were able to set this up somehow, it would be great. On the Queso would be a great podcast just based on whoever bellies up next to Carrie at the bar.
Me sharing queso with homeless people in different cities.
They're not homeless. They're just always a guy that's like emotionally wrecked.
Well, you're always home when you're at Chili's.
Exactly.
So there's that too. All right.
I'm going to miss this, but I'll be around.
Caitlin will be around. But as for right now, we're all going to get the hell out of here.
Yeah, we're going to go.
Right? Mm-hmm. Let's go. Carrie, say goodbye.
Goodbye.
Caitlin, say goodbye for now.
Goodbye for now.
Goodbye, everybody. We love you. Thank you.